This is Teachable Moments with April podcast, and you guessed it, I'm your host, April. If you're a returning listener and a part of the Teachable Moments with April podcast family, welcome back. For those who are checking me out for the first time, well, hello and welcome. To everyone listening, be encouraged and look for the teachable moments that are all around us. Enjoy. Let us pray, a prayer for discernment. Dear Heavenly Father, I seek your counsel. I invoke your spirit and help me to discern as nothing escapes your sight. Guide me, Lord, and give me a healthy spirit, a clear eye and wisdom, and help me identify any presence of the enemy, trying to tempt or trap me into the sin of pride or vanity. Set me free of my flesh so that I may see with the eyes of Christ. Let me identify the spirit behind any choices I must make. May your Holy Spirit fill me and take control so that I only need to walk in obedience. For you alone are holy and you are my sovereign Lord. And all my decision must glorify you. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen. Talk about a power couple out here crushing goals, making moves, and catching attention. You and Nike are in game. Find the pair that takes you to the next level here now at DSW. In this episode, we're going to continue to talk about spiritual warfare and territorial spirits based on the book Territorial Spirits by C. Peter Wagner. Now, in a previous episode, we talked about four key dimensions to spiritual warfare found in chapter one of the book. We also talked about the first key, which was our weapons of warfare, and there are six. Name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, agreement, fasting, praise, and the word of God. In this particular one, we're going to move on to the second key dimension of spiritual warfare, and that's our spiritual authority. All right, welcome back. So we're talking about the second key dimension to spiritual warfare. And the second one, as we have already established or are going to ready to introduce, is our spiritual authority. Now, once we understand our spiritual weapons and something of how to use them, we then need to focus our attention on the divine authority, which forms the basis on which we operate. Now, one of the weapons, the name of Jesus, gives us a clue to the authority and the nature of our authority. It is the name of Jesus that we are authorized to bind and loosen. What does this mean? Now, Jesus spoke of binding and loosening as Caesarea Philippi, and what is widely regarded as one of the milestone events of his training of the 12 apostles. Now, the incident is described in Matthew 16, and Jesus makes three important points. Okay? The first one is, the Messiah has come. Now, Simon Peter confesses on behalf of all that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, at Matthew 16:16. They know the world will never be the same again. The one for whom the Jews had been waiting thousands of years was there, actually in their midst. Now, the second important point, the church has come. The 12 were now ready to hear. On this rock I will build my church, at Matthew 16:18. It was Jesus' intention that the church would advance, and he assured them that even the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now we're at the third important point to this. The kingdom has come. Jesus promises his followers the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, what are they? He says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Matthew 16:19. Now we're going to look at binding and loosing. A little later on, Jesus repeats his teaching on binding and loosing and adds, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Matthew 18:20. Now this seems to be a delegated authority which common believers would be expected to use today. Now binding is frequently used for tying up an animal. For example, a watchdog will keep one away from its master's house unless it's bound. Now likewise, Jesus says, how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Found in Matthew 12:29. In the context of spiritual warfare, binding means restricting the power of evil on all levels. Loosing often means untying the thong on sandals. Now Jesus says concerning Lazarus, loose him and let him go. He also declared that a woman whom Satan had bound for 18 years ought to be loosed from this bond, found in Luke 13:16. So it's important to realize that while we have authority to bind and loose in the name of Jesus, we do not decide on our own what should be bound and what should be loosed. The Greek tense of Jesus' teaching really means this: what you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and that you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. This indicates the necessity for a synchronization between earth and heaven. The normal sequence is heaven first and then earth. This once again reminds us to the need to hear from God in prayer and know that He is doing before undertaking any aspect of spiritual warfare. Now the next question, how do we know what God is doing in heaven? While the difference cannot be pressed to an extreme because there is some overlap in terms, some Pentecostal theologians have made the helpful suggestion of distinguishing the Logos, word of God, from the Rhema, word of God. The Logos is said to be God's eternal written word found in the canon of Scripture. Okay? Through it, we know, for example, that sin has been bound in heaven. So, more specifically, have lust and pride and bitterness, to name just a few. Okay? So, have demons. We need look no further to know that we have the authority to bind the spiritual forces behind war or oppression or child abuse or racism or pornography, because God's written word gives us that information. Now the Rhema is regarded as a more immediate word from God, which we do not find in the 66 books of the Bible. Although it will never contradict the written word of God, it is something we seek directly from the Father. For example, we want to buy a home and we pray, God, is this the one? Or we look for a job and pray, God, please show me if this is your will that I accept this offer. We pray believing that He will give us the answer. What are commonly, though questionably, referred to as words of knowledge that also fall into the Rhema category. Okay. A while ago, for instance, a woman in my 120 Fellowship Adult Sunday School class announced that God has spoken a Rhema word to her, that someone in the class was suffering from a severe affliction of the lower intestine, which God wanted us to pray for. When no one responded, she was surprised because she thought she had received the word quite clearly, including several details of what the affliction actually looked like. Now, during the week, as she prayed further about it, she received another word from God. And this time, the actual first and last name, okay, was given. Now, this particular individual had been absent from the class that Sunday when she spoke up, but when the individual came the following Sunday, there was no doubt whether we had the authority to bind the affliction because we knew it had been bound in heaven. We prayed for this individual and this person was healed. Now, in this case, our instructions had to come through a rhema word rather than a logos word, okay? How do we know if a rhema word is valid? How do we know that what we are hearing is not just our imagination or worse, something generated by the world, the flesh, or the devil? Now, I'm going to break in here right now. I'm still walking in my faith journey and in my walk of faith. And in certain aspects of my life, and I've spoken about this before, I often have that trying to discern that. And I often question if I'm hearing from him or if this is from another source. And I don't really think that I'm alone. I think that that's the part of the human condition. But I definitely can identify with that. Okay. So it says, Okay. Spiritual gifts such as the gift of prophecy or the gift of discernment of spirits come into the picture at this point. Yeah. They are extremely helpful. So our experience and Christian maturity and holiness, another personal intimacy with God. Let me read that again. So our experience and Christian maturity and holiness and personal intimacy with God. These go a long way in providing assurance to an individual, such as the woman who had the word, she received a word from God about this particular affliction from another parishioner, okay, which turned out to be intestinal disease. But there is an even greater assurance when the word is allowed to be tested by others. I believe this is why Jesus directly followed his teaching on binding and loosening by saying that he is present when two or three are gathered together in his name. If two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 18:19. Now, one of the things we need to agree on is discerning what has been bound in heaven. Now, one of the most serious crises in the history of my 120 fellowship Sunday school class arose when we had invited a woman to give some of our first teaching on contemporary prophecy. The enemy obviously did not want this to happen, and he confused us enough to make some class leaders think that it was not God's will. I myself had no rhema word on this one, so I called my leadership team together for an emergency meeting. Although we did not agree with each other when we started the meeting, before long, we collectively discerned that God wanted us to go ahead with our plans. I was in a personal position where I could not have known this alone. But once we agreed that we had a word from God, we bound the enemy and loosened the ministry of the woman we had invited. Okay? Not surprisingly, the event turned out to be a powerful landmark occasion for the group as a whole, as well as for numerous individuals and families. It doesn't always work. Almost any of us who can tell stories like the two I have told above can tell even more stories in which binding and loosing have not accomplished the desired results. Now you may ask, why is this? There must be many reasons, and I do not profess to know them all. It does seem to me, however, that there may be both external, and internal reasons for what is considered to be failure. Now, externally, it's very simple. Satan obstructs the process. We are told that he walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, which is that account is very popular. It's found in 1 Peter 5:8. Now, obviously, he is not omnipresent, so he obstructs us from accurately discerning the will of God through his demons of different ranks. Now, the higher the rank of the evil spirit, the more spiritual power is needed to bind it. Unfortunately, many who shout in the churches or in rallies on television, "I bind you, Satan," are operating on such of a low level of spiritual power that they are not accomplishing much more than making noise. Now, while we are reassured or assured that Satan is ultimately defeated, we run a great risk when we underestimate his cunningness and power. And I attest to that. And I think everyone else listening could probably attest to that too. His cunning and his power. He's very subtle. Sometimes it's overt, but very subtle in the ways, and it kind of creeps up on you and you have to be constantly, especially now in this time and in this season that we are living in now. Nevertheless, when we find that we are impotent in binding and loosing, we do well to search for a possible cause in the spiritual world. Now, internally, it is quite possible that those of us who are attempting to do spiritual warfare are not properly submitted to the Lordship of Christ. His authority and power flow through us only when we maintain an intimate relationship with Him. Now, this is very true too. This is something that I defer to all the time in whatever situation that I'm facing. Is being vigilant and remembering to look to self first. Why did something happen in a certain manner? What, and then instead of looking outwardly, because it's kind of a reflex to look at other people or are, like they say, external causes or reasons or whatever. But it's, I think the best is to look internally, look to self. How can I make this better? How could I do this differently? What do I need to do? What more do I need to do? Do I need to do less of something? This is always what I strive to do. But I'm an imperfect human being. But I've tried to cultivate that in myself. Instead of blaming other things and other people, look to myself first and then work outwardly. Okay. So it says, His authority and power flow through us and when we maintain an intimate relationship with Him. To the degree that we are not living holy lives, we can expect a reduction in spiritual power. It is all too easy for any of us to revert to using carnal rather than spiritual weapons in our lives and ministries. So it is in our nature. It's not impossible, but we have to be very conscious and aware that we often will go to that. In this aspect, when we're talking about dealing with spiritual warfare, spiritual attacks, and things of that nature, we cannot work from the physical and lean upon our own understanding and try to deal with it or fight it in our normal way. Got to remember that. When we do, binding and loosing has little effect. To invite you to join me in prayer, a prayer of spiritual protection. Thank you, Lord, for your protection over my family. I come against any plot or ploy or scheme that the enemy has planned for us, and I render it useless in your Son Jesus Christ's name. We are the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. No weapon formed against us will prosper, and every tongue that arises against us will be condemned. We have the minds of Christ and the victory. The victory is ours today in Him. We are children of the Most High, and we rest in His goodness and faithfulness. In your Son's sweet name, Jesus Christ, amen. Grandma, we hope you love your new Aura digital picture frame. It's going to help us to share photos and stay connected. I already added a bunch of pictures and videos and we'll keep updating it. We don't want you to miss out on a single moment. You can send us as many photos as you want from your phone to our Aura Frame 2 so we can see exactly what you've been up to. Aura is the best gift ever because it's easy to be together even when we're apart. You were just listening to Teachable Moments with April podcast. I truly hope you enjoyed this episode. We invite you to stay connected with us on the other social media platforms of ours, which is TikTok, Pinterest, Instagram, Threads, and YouTube. Also, we'd like to invite you to check out our official podcast landing page on podpage.com/teachablemomentswithapril to see all our content in one place and leave personal messages, feedback, and more.